thanks for tuning in to Organic Matters. I get a good number of you every week. The numbers are increasing, so I'm glad to gather up some audience. For this portion of the show, I'm going to do a little diatribe, a little speech, a little talk on my question. Can synthetic palm oil really help save the world's tropical forest? Now, I've been down where they grow this stuff, so I know a little bit about it, and it is, use a fancy word, a parable. How much jungle they have ruined and taken out just to grow palm oil. Let's delve into that because there are some good alternatives these days. Let me begin by giving you a little background on a couple of guys that kind of got me interested in this just through readings. I don't know them. Tom Jeffries and Tom Kelleher met at Rutgers University back in the 70s sometime while studying industrially useful microbes. Jeffries went on to run a yeast genomics program for the United States Department of Agriculture. Kelleher spent his decades in the biomedical industry working with biologics like insulin, which are produced by modified microbes in giant fermenting vats. In 2007, the two reunited to build a company on the back of a grant from the National Science Foundation called Xylome. The Wisconsin-based startup aimed to find better methods to produce low-carbon fuel by feeding yeast agricultural waste. But I'll be getting into the palm oil situation. Just have a little patience. Yet it was by accident that Jeffries and Kelleher turned their efforts a few years later to a different global environmental problem, palm oil. The world's cheapest and most widely used vegetable oil, palm oil production is a primary driver of deforestation and biodiversity loss in tropics all across the world. These and other problems with the palm oil industry, such as super exploitative labor practices, have for years driven interest in more sustainable options. But good alternatives have proven difficult to come by. Other vegetable oils have similar drawbacks to palm oil, and sustainable forestry practices are certainly not always effective in the face of an ever rising demand. Today, as a little factoid, the world consumes nearly 70 million metric tons, unfathomable amount, of palm oil each year, used in everything from your toothpaste to your oat milk, for you healthy folks, to biodiesel and even laundry detergents. Demand is expected to more than double in the next decade or so. Fortunately, advances in bioengineering and increasing concerns about sustainability. A number of companies like Xylome have developed microbial oils that, say, offer a good alternative to palm oil while avoiding its most destructive impacts. They join numerous other synthetic biological companies from ventures hawking the new quote-unquote biofuels and fertilizer to lab-grown meats, which I'm still on the fence about, that aspire to solve environmental problems but share similar challenges, scaling up production and demonstrating their approach is in fact more sustainable than the problem they're trying to solve. To delve into a little bit of the science part of it, we almost have to kind of catch on to what's going on. Last year, a startup called C16 Biosciences opened a gleaming new lab in Manhattan just to develop microbial palm oil alternatives. It's backed by a $20 million grant from Bill Gates' Climate Solutions Investment Fund, Breakthrough Energy Ventures. It's a California-based startup called Kiverti is also working to manufacture yeast oil using carbon captured directly from the atmosphere. And a team of bioengineers at the University of Bath is at work scaling up its own strain of oily yeast. Xylome recently sent the first batches of its palm oil alternative, they call it Yoil, interesting name, Y-O-I-L, to a number of large palm oil suppliers, and it also went to the FDA to be tested. Interestingly, though, enormous challenges exist to scaling up production at a cost that could compete with cultivated palm oil and questions remain about how an emergent biotech industry in the global north of the world might impact palm oil-based livelihoods in the global south. These microbial oils could help curb the relentless growth of oil palm, which definitely threatens biodiverse areas along frontiers from South and Southeast Asia, Africa, Central and South America, and virtually all parts of the tropical world. If yeast oils can achieve a price low enough to compete with the trees, that would make a huge difference in where palm oil comes from. Now, Xylome CEO, Kelleher is, he says it would all be microbial at that point. Save the forest. These particular produced, almost genetically produced yeast strains are literally just fed on corn syrup. And when they are, they do exactly what we do if we keep feeding ourselves sugar. They get really big. This microbially produced oil is remarkably similar to palm oil, which is prized, incidentally, for its distinctive blend of saturated and unsaturated fats. This blend is solid at room temperature and liquid at body temperatures, perfect for chocolate coatings, soaps, cosmetics, and a number of other things. Other parts of the versatile palm oil are used as fuels, solvents, lubricants, and in many other products, especially in China, India, and in Indonesia. Palm oil currently is a major cause of deforestation in the tropics. In Borneo, for instance, oil palm cultivation has accounted for more than half of all deforestation over the past two decades. Future demand will contribute to even more deforestation. The same report found that more than 1 million square miles of biodiversity could be threatened by oil palm cultivation potentially, affecting more than 40% of all threatened bird, mammal, and amphibian species in the tropics. And that includes orangutans and tigers, even down to flycatchers and as far up as elephants. This deforestation also creates what we call the greenhouse gas emissions, which we've all talked about, as carbon-rich peat built up beneath those virgin forests is constantly drained and trees are burned to clear the land for more planting. These modified microbes produce an oil with a lipid profile almost identical to palm oil. The bugs, as they kind of refer to the yeast as being, can also be fed with materials that don't require tropical agriculture, such as corn or sugarcane, or waste materials, incidentally, like corn husk and wheat stalks, which all substantially reduce production cost. The microbial oil can also be produced anywhere, reducing the distance between factory and consumer at a considerable savings in cost. Since I still have my questions about genetically modified materials, I found this kind of interesting. Rather than modifying the microbes genetically by using gene editing tools, the new process relies on exposing yeast colonies to a regime of stresses to just spur them to produce more oil from cheaper feedstock. This particular approach leads to more robust microbes and incidentally also avoids the regulations that govern genetically modified organisms, which again I still question. Interestingly, another strain in development can actually be fed waste products from ethanol production to produce the oil, and can do so currently at half the price of raw Malaysian palm oil, so very, very competitively. It does appear that in the future, microbial oils could very plausibly compete with traditional palm oil in cost. However, one other thought comes to mind. Price might also matter a little less if people like me that's environmentally conscious are willing to accept higher prices for palm oil-free products, again, to help preserve our tropics. Another aid may be that subsidies on carbon taxes could also improve prospects for these yeast oils, since The carbon footprint for microbial oils is far, far lower than palm oil cultivated on deforested land. However, the full life cycle emissions of yeast oils is, we still got to do a little study on it, but right now it looks very plausible. Last food for thought, indeed, with over 70 million metric tons of oil produced each year, just palm oil, there's definitely room for at least one more solution. Microbial oils would not have to totally replace the traditional palm oil production to have significant environmental benefits. They would have to just curb growth in that industry and then start by replacing palm oil first in more expensive products, for instance, such as cosmetics, which is kind of the strategy right now the current companies are shooting for, like I mentioned, C16 Biosciences and Xylome. That's their current idea, but with the idea of taking over more and more of the palm oil production that are in forests now by producing them with yeast microbes. Kind of wind this up as I always do. I have thrown this together through, a few hours of reading, trying to catch up. So it's, I hope I've put it together. I was once taught while I was in a debate class in college that the smart thing to do is try to put facts such that you're talking to someone that has an eighth grade education. Then sort of build your story from there. And I've kind of learned to try to do that. I know it works for me when I look into subjects that I just don't have any background in. So I kind of hope that I put it where it makes sense. The next time you have time, read the cosmetics, read the food, read everything. You're going to just be amazed at how much palm oil you're probably taking in without ever realizing it. I'm not sure if it's even that good or bad for you in normal amounts. The point is, it's certainly not really long-term sustainable for this little planet we live on. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters.